Our scripture reading this morning comes out of the book of Leviticus, just a few verses out of Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 to 37. And if you want to look in the Bibles in the pew in front of you, it's on page 107 in the first section, or you probably, there you'll have it up there. And in fact, what you won't have up there is this is a very interesting chapter that you should just read some of the other verses. For example, love your neighbor as yourself. Where does it come from? But Leviticus 19. And just the verse before this says, you shall rise before the aged and defer before the old. I don't see anyone standing, so I guess I'm not that old. So, interesting chapter. I just read it and I thought, whoa. Anyway, here are the verses to do with what they call aliens or refugees. Verse 33. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You shall not cheat in measuring length, weight, or quantity. You shall have honest balances, honest weights, an honest ephah, and an honest hin. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall keep all my statutes and all my ordinances and observe them. I am the Lord. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to have James with us this morning. Last week when I was preaching from Matthew 18, that section of scripture is referred to as the community prescription. And we looked at what we are to be about as a church. Jesus talks about the little ones and how the little ones are not just the children like we had up here for celebrating VBS. That's an important piece. But also those like the refugees, homelessness, all those issues, and that we as a church, that's where we need to be involved. So it's wonderful to be able to have James come, expand that some more. For those of you that are not aware, we own the two homes next door. And Journey Home Community, which James is ahead of, runs these homes for us. So we partner with them in this great ministry. So James, come on up, and I would like to just pray for you before you come share with us. So will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this ministry. And I think of how it was birthed out of a small group, having a desire to do something to reach out to refugees. Lord, thank you for the partnership that we have begun, for the gift of these homes, and now this ministry can run. I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts as we hear what James has to share with us today, that we would be moved to action, that our hearts would be touched. Lord, thank you for him. I pray your blessing upon him. And would you anoint him as he just comes and brings the word to us this morning. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Laura. And so good to be back with you, actually. Year or two ago, I think. And I seem to recall having a VBS kind of wrap up that Sunday as well. And so maybe this is becoming a tradition. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees says this: we are witnessing a paradigm change, an unchecked slide into an era in which the scale of global forced displacement, as well as the response required, is now clearly dwarfing anything seen before. I'd like you to come with me on a little journey on the refugee highway this morning. It's a highway that stretches around the world and is filled with tears, oppression, persecution, death, and loss. You've already heard Mark referring to the global picture where 59.5 million forcibly displaced people exist in our world. 19.5 of those are actual refugees outside of their country of origin. Refugees, people who are forced to flee, unlike immigrants who choose to leave their homeland and come here. In our office, we have a UNHCR poster that has kind of on a graffiti cement wall, the tag, "Refugee, go home." And underneath is the response, "He would if he could." So, what makes up this refugee highway? Well, we have the sending countries like you've seen on the news. Those boatloads of African refugees trying to make their way across the Mediterranean. Places like Southeast Asia, Myanmar, the Rohingya people. The Syrian refugee crisis, we have not escaped that over these last 4 or 5 years. More recently, Ukraine. Afghanistan has been an ongoing refugee-producing country. Where do they go? Well, often they go to transition countries, places like Turkey and Greece, Italy, Lebanon, Pakistan, Kenya. Did you know that 86% of those refugees existing in the world are hosted by developing countries? And it's only 14% that are hosted by developed countries. Well, finally, some of them make their way to receiving countries like Germany and Sweden. Brazil is now taking refugees, the USA and Canada. And some actually make their way to Metro Vancouver and next door to your church. So, the global refugee crisis is relentless. And as we heard from the UNHCR, Antonio Guterres, it's almost unprecedented in our world today. I'd like to take you on a little journey to one of those particular countries, the land of Lebanon, right next door to Syria. A few facts on Syria. Estimated population, about 23 million. Close to half of those people have been displaced through the war in Syria. 4 million actually have left the country as refugees. It was my privilege to spend about 3.5 weeks in Lebanon earlier this year in January and February. Bit of an ongoing burden of what is God calling me to do and us to do in the Western Church. And so I had the chance to go and spend some time visiting some of those Syrian refugees. The need is huge. And that was my first observation, as I want to share a few of those observations. Huge, unrelenting, ongoing, and it just doesn't seem to be getting any better. In fact, some were saying in Lebanon and in the Middle East that this could go on for another 10 years. Are we becoming fatigued around this sort of compassion need? If you think of the small country of Lebanon, think of a size the third of Vancouver Island, with the population of BC, 4.5 million people, and then you cram into that another 1.5 million refugees, and you have a picture of Lebanon. Unbelievable, the need that exists in that country. How do you even respond to that sort of situation? Of this influx of people. Most of those refugees are Syrian, some are Iraqi, some Palestinian, but those are the kinds of situations that the people of Lebanon are dealing with. And it only seems fair that we in the West try to pick up at least a little bit of that response to the Syrian refugee crisis. And so as I was there, I had kind of made a commitment in myself and to the Syrian refugees that I met that I would take their story back. And so that's what I want to do just for a few moments this morning. The second observation, though, is that in the face of this unrelenting need, there is good news. The church is responding. And I had a chance to visit some of those churches, along with being part of Heart for Lebanon Christian ministry, reaching out to Syrian and other refugees in their country. Visited a Sunday morning, a Baptist church in Beirut, and then a week or two later in Zakhli, the Bekaa Valley. And what a fascinating sight to see Syrian Muslim background refugees coming to a Baptist church on a Sunday morning. Women with their hijabs and just chatting later with some of the church folk and seeing what their church was doing. these churches have a huge responsibility as they're trying to reach out. Here was a church of maybe 200 or 300 people who had taken on 150 Syrian refugee families in trying to support them and care for them. Well, Heart for Lebanon, this amazing Christian ministry, was also an opportunity for me to see what the church is doing. And this ministry had doubled in size since the last time I was in Lebanon, just a couple of years previous. Dynamic young leaders giving of themselves and stepping out into the need and to responding. I talked to Chris, who was a young man working on his MBA. I said, Chris, what are you going to do when you have that MBA in your back pocket and have the opportunities before you? What's your dream job? He said, I am in my dream job. And he was ferrying us around and being part of the photography team and the front line ministry team that would take guests and carry them out to different points in the country, a great ambassador for what the Heart for Lebanon group was doing. And so we were involved in food distribution, and the Heart for Lebanon has a warehouse, and they pack food and take it out to now 2,800 families. And their idea is not just to distribute food and provide some relief, but it's actually to establish relationship with these families, get to know them, visit them in their tents and their homes and their apartments, and share the love of Jesus with them. They also do some informal education programs, and it was really cool to see some of these young, aspiring teachers, Lebanese and Syrian teachers, reaching out to these young children, 450,000 Syrian refugee children. Can you imagine what that would do to a school system? So here's Heart for Lebanon and other churches, local churches, providing an informal education opportunity so these kids don't get lost in the world of lack of education. Well, there was a third observation that I had, and it was watching and talking to these people and sensing the indomitable human spirit, the courage, the perseverance, the hospitality. Winter in the Baca Valley is pretty tough going. Life in the tent settlements is also pretty tough going. And yet these folks were continuing, as we visited them, to share hospitality with us. I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm not a tea drinker. But I kind of forced myself to down those little Syrian cups of coffee that you could almost chew. And I just did it because they were extending their hospitality, and I wanted to receive it in Jesus' name. And what a chance to just pray with them and hear their stories and hear their hearts cry and the loss of hope. And what can I offer? Sometimes just presence. And I was hoping that my presence there as a North American, as a Canadian, would somehow communicate that they had not been forgotten, that there were people over here who were praying for them. And that's the message that I wanted to share with them and bring their story back. Ordinary people, Syrian friends that I met, this fellow was a professional musician in Syria, had to leave it all behind, but he shared a little bit of his singing on his iPhone with me, and in that country of Lebanon, as we visited him, he said, you know, it was just before Valentine's Day, he says, I do have a gig tomorrow night, you know, singing in a restaurant, and so trying to live out their lives in some semblance of order from what they've had. They do try to teach some English in these to these Syrian refugee kids. Some of the Syrian people, the young lady on the right, or on the left, sorry, was my interpreter for the church service in the Baca Valley and shared the message with me in English. Well, there's a fourth observation, and that is the extra good news. It's the news that we don't hear on our channel news reports, on the TV, and online, It's the news that there's an unprecedented movement of God that's happening in the Middle East. And I kept hearing that again and again as I had the opportunity to share in some conferences with Middle Eastern leaders, with North African leaders, with young church leaders from Lebanon and Syria and Iraq and Jordan. As they came together and shared life and faith and ministry, it became clear that people are becoming followers of Jesus by the thousands. People from Christian backgrounds, traditional Christian backgrounds, but also people from Muslim backgrounds. We don't hear that on TV, do we? But it's a report that I want to share with you this morning of this unprecedented movement of God. The movement that we've been praying for decades, friends, is now happening as people are coming to faith. As churches are grappling with how to do ministry in this growing opportunity that they have before them. And so I had a chance to just try and encourage a few of these folks and hear their stories. Prayer is what is going to drive this response. And we need a prayer movement, both on our parts here as well as in joining our brothers and sisters over there. The little handout that you received this morning, on the back side, there's some ways to be involved in the Syrian refugee crisis. And I hope you'll take that home with you and try to determine if maybe there's a little part you can play. And sometimes when we look at those news reports, don't we feel so helpless, wondering how can I respond to Syrian refugees? Well, here are some ways you can respond. And I wanted to have that available so you could take it with you and just see how God might be encouraging you to have a part. Well, that's the global situation. But we want to bring it a little closer to home and see what's happening in Canada on this refugee highway. So there's two ways that refugees come to Canada. They're either sponsored by the government or private groups. And that's about $14,000 a year. Or they come as refugee claimants, asylum seekers, showing up in our country and asking for protection until their refugee claim is heard to determine whether it is legitimate. And about 14,000 of those come to Canada every year as well. Our focus in Journey Home Community is on that second group. The first group have sponsoring entities like the government or private groups and churches, and that is such a critical and important area of ministry. The second group just kind of show up without that sort of support being garnered ahead of time. And so we felt a call 10 years ago now to just reach out and provide support and help and assistance and share the love of Jesus with those who are just arriving. Well, you say, who comes on that basis? We know about, you know, all those in the refugee camps who've been registered with the UNHCR and are looking for an opportunity to be resettled in one of these countries that I've talked about. But who are those that just kind of show up and ask for refugee protection? Well, let me tell you about a few who've come through Journey Home Community. A human rights lawyer fighting a corrupt government and police force on behalf of one of the little ones in his country. A couple in disfavor with their family because of their marriage choice. And that kind of disfavor can often bring death threats. A successful businessman targeted for extortion. An Islamic scholar trying to write and teach moderation. Well, that doesn't go over too well in Afghanistan. Someone fleeing wartime conflict in Burundi. An extended family from Eastern Europe fleeing persecution due to their gypsy ethnicity. For Journey Home Community, more than 400 refugees in these last 10 years from almost 40 different nations. It's been an exciting and rewarding opportunity to be part of their lives. So what is the Canadian and what is the Christian response to these who come, these aliens or foreigners or strangers? Well, it's mixed. And we would expect that from our civil society, but we would hope that it wouldn't be mixed from the church. But as we find that kind of mixed response, and as we share stories and as we introduce people, we find that response turns to one of support and how can we be involved. We read the answer that we are supposed to have from Leviticus 19. In fact, I think we should just read that together. When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. This was the instruction God gave to his newly forming nation. This, he said, is how you are to treat the strangers and foreigners who come to reside with you. I wonder if we're responding in the same way in our relatively newly formed nation of Canada, in our communities, and welcoming the strangers. Let's bring this down now to a local level, Metro Vancouver and Journey Home Community. Remember those two groups, government and privately sponsored refugees? About 800 to 900 in Metro Vancouver arrive annually. I'm not sure how many privately sponsored, but it would be over and above that. Refugee claimants are those seeking asylum in our community, anywhere from 600 to 700 to 1,000 per year, the group that we work with and focus on. Journey Home Community started, as Laura was saying, just out of a home group in a church, a home group that I was involved with, and a number of us just began to think and pray about what our response would be to these who are coming, and we felt that God was calling us to do something. So we took in our first family 10 years ago, I think right about this time of year. Someone had offered their rental house, and we said, let's turn this into a refugee house, and we had a family from Mexico and then a family from Afghanistan, and that launched us. And we were learning refugee ministry on the fly. But it was an exciting and kind of heady time in this adventure and reaching out and responding as we believed God was calling us to respond. We were just a group of volunteers who saw a need, prayed, and tried to respond. We incorporated, we received our charitable status. I had left my work in the meantime and became kind of part-time director, and as some funds grew, I was able to come on full-time. We hired a couple of staff people, and we were off and running. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus through housing, resettlement assistance, and relational support. And one of the great ways that we're able to do that over these past 3 years now is with the Olivet Welcome Houses, as we call them, right next door. Great partnership that we have developed with Olivet Church. And I want to just take a minute to say thank you. Thank you to your church for having the vision many, many years ago, prior to Journey Home coming on the scene, but having a vision to reach refugees. And those houses have gone through some different spaces and places in ministry over the last number of years. And when an opportunity arose 3 years ago, we said, well, maybe this is the location that we've been waiting for these 7 years. And it's been an absolute delight to have a ministry base now with the houses next door. We want our ministry to be holistic. We want to provide support for people in every area of their life, whether it's physical needs, emotional, mental well-being, psychological, spiritual. We want to be there for them. We think that ministry needs to be holistic. We also believe that ministry is effective when it's community-based. So how can we wrap refugees into a community where they're not isolated or just trying to function on their own out there, but where they're part of a support group? And Journey Home can't do that alone, and that's why we reach out to partner churches, of which you are one, and look for ways in which we can connect you with refugees. I think of a few people who've been through the Olivet House, and I think of one of our couples, George and Marlene, originally from Peru, and then through the U.S. and then up into Canada, claiming refugee protection. They lived with us for a while there, and then we were able to find them some housing as they moved out. Marlene is this fireball community activist and has planned events and community involvements and for women and for the neighborhood and the community. and they've been just an inspiration to us. I think of a woman from the Congo, and her came to us expecting her second child. The first was a small boy, and they lived with us for a while. Now they've been wrapped by another church into their community, and so it's been a delight to have help her find some more permanent housing as she's moved through the Olivet program. I think of another woman from Burundi who's suffered severe loss. And she was part of our community at Olivet, and now we've been able to find her housing out in the larger community. I think of the folks who are there right now, today, a family of three, a couple expecting their first baby, a single woman, a family of three that just moved out last week and so had now have opened up a space for perhaps the next family to arrive. These are the friends and folks that you're supporting through your church community. Some of you have had the opportunity to meet them as we've gathered for our weekly Tuesday evening community meal. And that invitation is open to all of you. Probably not all at once, but maybe a few at a time. And we'd love to have you join us on a Tuesday evening and just get to know some refugees and get to know the Journey Home staff and other volunteers. And just maybe dip your toe in the water of what refugee ministry could be for you. Refugees, as we look at them, I ask the question, do we see them as a liability? Something that is really a bit of a nuisance and wishing they wouldn't come and upset our lifestyle and take away our jobs and kind of invade our religious systems? Or do we at least move past that and see them as a responsibility? Maybe an obligation. Well, we're Christians and we need to respond because God invites us into that, indeed commands us into that. Or do we go past that and actually see the refugees who come and arrive as an opportunity? Opportunity for friendship. I attended the refugee hearing this past Thursday of one of our families from a Western Asian country. Clearly in need of protection and a clear case for refugee protection and refugee status, but somehow they had been declined in their first hearing. And so they went through an appeal process and won that process and had a second hearing on Thursday. And as I sat in that hearing room along with another one of our volunteers who befriended them and had developed a really good friendship, I just thought, you know, here's this very vulnerable family inviting us into the intimate parts of their lives, sharing their story, and seeing that we're family now. They've left family behind, but they've invited us into their lives to be family. And praise God, that second hearing was successful, and we celebrated and rejoiced that day. In thinking, and I thought, here's one more family that God has had mercy on, and we've had the privilege of responding to them. You've had the privilege of responding to many. And so let's see refugees, foreigners, these aliens coming as those whom God has given us opportunity for this brief window of time to share a little bit of His love. Some of those folks who've been through the Olivet Welcome Houses, and I think of one of our friends from Central America and another woman from Eastern Europe, have not been successful in their refugee claim, and have actually had to go back to their homeland to face whatever danger that they had left. But for at least a period of time, we've had a chance to share Jesus' love and point then to the one ultimately who can offer hope. We sang some great songs this morning, and I wonder if you picked up some of those words of hope for the hopeless. And it's as I was sharing with those refugees in Syria and sitting in their tent, I thought, what kind of hope can I offer these people? You know, just a very minute percentage of refugees are resettled every year in the world. And the rest stay in these camps for decades and sometimes, you know, near lifetimes. And I thought, we have a chance to offer the hope of Jesus. And we need to develop a relationship to the point of where we can share that kind of love and message. But we can offer hope on very, as I talked about, working holistically. We can offer hope on very practical levels as well. People who just need a chance. People who just need an opportunity. We can befriend them and support them, maybe accompany them to finding an apartment, or help point them in the direction of a job, or buy them a gift certificate for food when they're low. These are the ways we can help and provide support. So I hope you will see the opportunity to become involved. And I want to just turn our attention as we finish up now to the little insert that you received this morning in your bulletin, and say we invite you at Olivet to be part of this amazing ministry to refugees in whatever way God might be calling you. God probably isn't calling all of you to be involved in refugee ministry, but I have a hunch he might be nudging a few of you this morning, just saying, I have a place or a task or a chance for you to be involved. Here's a few ways. Prayer is the sustaining foundation for all ministry. First Thursday of the month at 7 a.m., at our office, or at your convenience, and I send out a little prayer reminder if you'd like to be on that list. Small groups to be involved in our Olivet Welcome Houses. This is a great chance for you, as I was saying before, of just a little exposure. And maybe your small group would love to come and cook the community meal on an evening. We found that those are great ways for community groups, small groups in a church, to be involved in a project. A workday project. And as we look at our 10th anniversary celebration coming up in September, I'm calling all available people to September 7th. Do you know what day that is? Labor Day. I'm changing the name to Labor of Love Day, because we want to have a little bit of a workday project at our Olivet Welcome Houses to prepare for the 10th anniversary celebration that we'll have on September 19th. So would you join me? I'll be there on Labor Day. Would you join me on that day for your labor of love? I'm almost tempted to ask for a show of hands, but I won't. But I'll be up in the hall after the service, and there's some information on Journey Home there that you might want to come, and maybe you'd have some questions. Little response cards you could fill out and say, yeah, I'll come on September 7th. I'd love to see a group of you, and we'll spread the word beyond your church to invite others to join us on September 7th and get those places in real ship shape. Ride for Refuge, October 3rd. Would there be a chance of having a team from Olivet Baptist Church riding and walking? We have a walk component this year as well to help us in our biggest fundraising activity of the year for refugees. There's other individual opportunities that we have with the more specific skills and a chance for you to be involved. And then finally, love to have you come to our 10th anniversary celebration. Got some invites also on the table up in the hall. And it'll be an open house afternoon, and you can kind of come and go. We'll have a bit of a program at 3 o'clock for about 45 minutes. Maybe invite a couple of dignitaries, as well as having some refugee stories, some dance. We'll have music through the afternoon. Great chance to celebrate. Come and join us for that. So we've covered a lot of ground this morning, and I hope you're not overwhelmed, but I hope that you have been inspired. I want to move beyond in church and in ministry. I want to move beyond the guilt motivation to the opportunity and adventure motivation, where we can be a part of the exciting work that Jesus is doing in our community, in these homes, in your church. So let's open our hearts to whatever God might be saying today. And if it's to pray, well, we long for that. If it's to come and join us on September 7th, if it's to be part of a Ride for Refuge team, or befriending a refugee, or being involved in our community garden, as some of you are, whatever it is, just give some thought and attention and time to maybe a chance for you to welcome the stranger. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, it's so inspiring to work with you. When we see God going before us and preparing the way and opening doors and creating chances for ministry, and then for us to come along and discover those and to be called into those, we feel humbled. And yet we rejoice and we're excited to work with you. And indeed, as we look on this harvest field, both here in our community, in fact, right next door, and throughout Metro Vancouver, and then across the world, we can't help but think that God is on the move. And so we want to join in with you in that movement. And so call those whom you will, even this morning out of this church, and in our wider Metro Vancouver city, to be part of perhaps the refugee movement. And may you give us a sense of where you would have us to be and serve. And perhaps it's not with refugees. Maybe it's some other of those others that we were talking and thinking about earlier in the service. Wherever it is, you have a place for us. And so may you call us into a deeper union with you so that out of that, we can have an abundance of living water to share with our world. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.